You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections. And I have with me now a bit of a change of pace. We're going to talk to Greg. Greg is a local beekeeper and a bit of an expert on bees. So there's a few questions we want to ask Greg. But first of all, welcome, Greg.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Now, first of all, I've got to ask you, how long have you been involved with bees?
Not very long, really. 10 years.
Is that all?
That's all, yeah. Newcomer.
And why did you get involved with beekeeping?
Well, originally, it was purely for environmental, ecological and food reasons. We're fortunate we live on a bit of a property, rural.
Yep.
Love growing our own food. I've noticed there wasn't all that many bees around. So when I finished working, I said to She Who Must Be Obeyed, the domestic goddess, I wouldn't mind getting some bees. Her response was...
What's her response?
Her response was, over my dead body. I did measure the hole, but I never dug it, so...
She's still with us, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's now a registered, qualified beekeeper herself.
There you go. So it was mainly you just wanted to know why they weren't at your place?
Yeah. I think being rural, there weren't many bees around, so...
And let's be honest, a lot of people are very frightened of bees too, aren't they?
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, people are very frightened. And the other thing is too that, and I know we're going to discuss this as we get further... A lot of people wanted to kill the bees, but really, if you start doing that, I think you've said this, no bees, no food.
Pretty much. Depends which expert you talk to.
Yeah.
Anything from half to two-thirds of the food we eat relies on pollination, predominantly by bees.
Righto. Now, these little critters, when we had you in, I think it's probably about 18 months ago, I could be wrong, and you told me at that stage you've got a few people that you supply honey to, and you couldn't even produce enough. You had to buy some in. So, first of all, has it changed? And if so, why has it changed?
Yep, good question. Yes, it has changed. The last 3 or 4 years have been, shall we say, weather challenging. Beekeeping is primary production.
So is it mainly the weather that would cause the downturn?
Absolutely, yes.
What, too hot or too cold?
Too cold, too wet, too miserable. If you think back to last year, in August we had 1 week of spring, and then we had winter up until November.
And we didn't have a very hot summer, either.
No. So all of those factors contributed to what would normally be flowering for the bees didn't. So there was a shortage. So, yes, it was a matter of survival.
And that was part... And because of that, then the production of honey went...
Absolutely, yes. It was that way for about 3 years. Fortunately, this year the weather has improved dramatically because here we all are enjoying this beautiful spring weather up until Sunday, I believe you said.
Sunday's a shocker. But anyway, so how long ago did production start to improve... And how much has it improved?
All right. Well, in this season, August, we got spring again, but it stayed spring. So I've already taken some honey from a couple of my hives, which is highly unusual for me. Normally, I normally don't take any honey until very late in the season, which would be March, April. But this year, there's been so much floral resources for the bees, they've got plenty plus.
So when you say that, I'm intrigued with that. So how often would you take honey from your hives?
All right, for me, as I said, normally I'd only do that once a year, late in the season.
Once a year?
Yeah, where I am.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few reasons of that, which I won't bore you with at the moment. But for people who are in suburban situations, you know, like any township where there's a lot of home gardens, there is far more floral resources available than what there is where I am rural. So beekeepers in, you know, Lilydale, Chernside Park, Warburton, those areas, they do far better in terms of honey production than what I do. So they will usually take twice a year.
So only twice a year? In a really good hive, it's still only twice a year that you get honey?
Well, that's... Now, can I preface everything that I'm saying with... I'm a beekeeper with an opinion. Yeah. There is an old saying, put two beekeepers in a room, ask them a question, you should get about 14 answers.
Yeah.
So this is my take on it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm absolutely right, but I'm not absolutely wrong either. Everybody makes their own choices and decisions as what's best for their bees at any given time.
All right, so how many bees have you got yourself, Greg?
If you want the number of bees, I couldn't count them. Number of hives, I've got 8.
In the time, in the scheme of things, mm-hmm. is 8 hives a lot, or is it, or would you say you're a small cohort?
Well, compared with a lot of suburban people who can only keep 2 hives, I've got a lot. Compared with other beekeepers who have got hundreds, if not thousands, I'm a spring chicken.
So, Greg, apart from talking about bees and what how good they are, and we can talk more about that in a few minutes. If we've got someone listening who wants to be a beekeeper, what sort of permits do you have to get, and is it something that your neighbours can argue that you shouldn't have or something like that? So, all right, we'll start off today. I go home and I think I want to be a beekeeper. So what have I got to do then?
All right. The first thing I would do, anyone that wants to become a beekeeper, find out more before you commit yourself. I always encourage people to do an introduction to beekeeping course, which will then show them what the expectations are over a 12-month period. So you're not just going in thinking, oh, good, I'll start beekeeping and I've got honey. So it gives you a more realistic picture of what to expect.
Because you don't really want to get a hive in your backyard and then want to get rid of it, do you?
No.
All right, so we've done the course.
Yep.
What sort of, do we have to get permits or what do we do?
No, you don't need a permit to keep bees, but it is a legal requirement for any beekeeper to register with the Agricultural Department. Right. That is a legal requirement.
Do they come out and check your hives at all ever? Or?
No, never. Never.
They just make some money out of it. No,
actually they don't, Alan, because if you've got less than 5 hives,
yep.
You don't pay for registration. It's a free registration. The idea of registering with the department is that if there is a disease or a problem in your area, they will never tell you where it is or what it is.
They
will advise you, as I have been in the past, oh, there's a particular problem in your general area. Please be aware.
They don't come out at a time like that and check them. All right. So just before we go on too much about the bees, because that's really what we're talking about, somebody walks out today and they're in their garden and they see something. How do they know it's not a wasp, which they really want to get rid of, rather than a bee they want to keep?
All right. I'll answer that in two parts, if I could, Alan.
Yep.
All right, you have your solitary bees flying around visiting flowers. That's fine. Yep. If you see a large cloud of insects, which is quite common at this time of the year,
right,
that could be a bee swarm.
Yeah, because I know I went out in the bushes the other day and I was watering and all of a sudden these bees came pouring out of the little shrub. So obviously they were bees. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I'll cover how to handle that in a moment.
Yep.
The other thing, wasps, generally speaking, they live in the ground, generally speaking.
Because they are a pest, aren't they?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes. They're about the only insect that I would take great delight in exterminating.
So does a wasp hurt your bees? Like, are they a predator or what against the bees?
Yes, they can be. At certain times of the year, the wasps are looking for protein food. Bees happen to be protein. So wasps, I've seen it myself at my hives, you'll have a few wasps hanging around near a beehive. A bee comes back laden with either pollen or nectar. The wasp will hit it in midair, strike it to the ground, bite the head off, and then carry the carcass off back to the wasp nest to feed its young. So it has a double whammy. It gets carbohydrate, which is the nectar, and the protein, which is the body of the bee.
And it brings down the amount of bees.
In a really severe situation, if you've got a very large wasp nest nearby and your beehive isn't as strong as it could be, the wasps can actually overwhelm a beehive totally. It's unusual, but it can happen.
The wasp, am I right when I say that the wasps were brought into Australia, that the bees were natural and the wasps aren't? Am I right on that? Or
almost. but not quite.
Yeah, go on.
Bees were actually introduced. Now, that's the honeybee. Yep, they were introduced in Australia. I could be wrong on the date. I think it was 1822, but I could be wrong. Yeah, they were brought over on the ships from England, and that's another story in itself. So they are introduced. They are now regarded as endemic because they've been here for over 200 years.
So how were the vegetables and flowers and that impregnated prior to as having bees in the 1800s?
Excellent question. Prior to European settlement, there weren't vegetable fields and crops as we know them today. Right? Totally different scenario. So the native pollinators, as they have been doing for many thousands of years, did what they always did, pollinating. Can I just throw in a little side fact?
Yeah.
Did you know? I love doing did you knows.
Yeah.
One of the best small pollinators we have is actually a microbat.
A what?
A microbat.
Tiny.
They're only about 5 centimetres across. Little microbats. Google microbats. You will be delighted to find how small they are, how diverse they are, and they're a native little creature. And they do pollination.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Greg, and Greg is a bee expert, or knows all about the bees, and we're trying to find out a bit more. Greg, I told you just in passing that I was watering the other day and all the bees popped out. You said you'd tell me how to handle that. What I did was I walked away and left the bees to it. So how would you handle that?
All right. What you did was absolutely exemplary. If you don't want to engage with them, yep, just walk away. Because a bee swarm is actually bees in transit between the hive they came from and they're looking for a new home. So swarms traditionally, and 99.9% of the time, are really calm and non-aggressive. So a lot of people see this flying cloud of bees and panic. Don't. They will settle, then they'll find a new home in the next day or so, then they'll disappear. No problem for anyone. That's option one. Option two, you see a swarm of bees, call the beekeeper. Oh, it just so happens I've got a phone number for that.
Well, we're going to get that from you at 5 to 2.
Right.
But, I mean, there weren't any problems to me. But, I mean, the best thing is not to keep watering the plant because you're only annoying the bees, aren't you?
Exactly so. Yep. And just walk away. Let them regroup. They will move on.
I saw on Facebook, and I know Facebook is dangerous because all sorts of stuff gets on there, but I saw where there was hundreds of bees on a car.
Yep.
What would you do? And this was on the back window at the back pillar. Now, it could have been stooge. I'm not saying anything that. But in a situation like that, what would you do apart from call a beekeeper?
Step one, leave them alone. Step two, call a beekeeper.
Will they come out in this instance? Would they come out and take them off the car?
Yes. Yep. Yep. You can gently scoop them or brush them off. And as I said before, because the bees are not aggressive, you can, generally speaking, handle them gently. You don't have a problem. Or for example, I was doing a swarm this morning.
At a person's place.
Yeah. It was up in a tree.
Let me just ask you this, and I don't want to cut across you, but all right. So when you went to do that, do you then pick the bees up and then take them back to a hive, or is the idea then to gently move them on?
What I was doing is actually moving from up in a tree, moving into a small hive, which is on the ground just near them. I'll gently collect them, pop them in the box, wait for everyone to come in there, and then at night when they're all at home and snuggled away, then I can take the box away, take the hive away.
Oh, so the hive wasn't there. You took the hive there, did you?
Yes.
I don't know a lot about bees, and that's why I'm asking this, so that when you take them away, they're not like a homing pigeon or something that says, oh, well, we shouldn't be here, we should be back in that tree, and they'll all take off tomorrow and go back there?
That's always a chance. Just because I popped them in a box doesn't mean they like the box that I've provided for them. Once again, a very high percentage of time, they'll remain in the box. Now, as I mentioned before, a swarm is in transit, so that they don't have a home. When I put them in the box, that becomes their home. So when I move them at night, when they're all inside, put them in the new location. When they start to come out in the morning, when the sun comes up, the first thing they will do is called reorientation. So the first bees will come out and think, oh, this is different to where we were, and they'll actually fly in like figure eights or big circles around the hive, the new hive, until they've reorientated with their GPS. Once they've settled, off they go, and then it just becomes normal.
All right, so when they say the likes of this morning, you've got them in the box,
mm-hmm.
so that they will stay there, how did you get a queen bee? Or the queen bee wouldn't necessarily be with them, would that, would she?
Yes, a swarm always has a queen bee.
Even when it's like that out of a in a tree?
Yes.
How do you, as a person, know I've got the queen bee?
Great question. Preface this, my eyesight isn't as good as I would like, so I cannot see queen bees very, very well. However, the behaviour of the rest of the swarm tells me where the queen is.
Again, I'm going to ask you then, yep. How do they behave?
All right, I'll give you an example. This morning, all the swarms up in the tree, I collect them, pop them in the box and put the lid on, and then I watch what happens to the few bees that are still outside. If the queen is in the box, it's almost like flowing water in a way. All the bees that are outside will then start to move into the box to be with the queen. And the reason they know the queen is in there is that once the queen's in the box, there will be quite a few bees standing just inside the entrance to the hive, facing inwards, holding onto the ground, not moving, but fanning their wings very vigorously. That creates a draft, and that draft carries the pheromone, or the scent of the queen, into the air. Bees have a far higher sense of smell, even better than bloodhounds. So the bees that are still flying around, wondering where everyone's gone, will pick up on this pheromone or the scent. They will follow it down to the hive, and then they all march in, as happened this morning.
All right. So you got the queen. So how would you know then if you didn't have the queen?
By past experience, yes, it becomes a little chaotic. Scenario. I've gathered up the bees, put them in the box, put the lid on, and then they all just come pouring out. And really, it's almost like water pouring out of the hive. They don't want to be in there. The queen's not there. They're going to go and find her. So they will all evacuate really, really quickly. In a matter of 15 to 20 seconds, they're all gone. So all your hard work...
So you've got to catch them again.
Mm-hmm. if you can.
Let me just ask you this. So, all right, we'll say you got them today, but you never got the queen bee. So you pop them all in, you take the lid off, and they all shoot. Are they going to shoot back straight up to that tree, or are they going to say, oh, no, we got caught there, we'll go somewhere else?
Generally speaking, they will go back to the same spot where they were when you caught them. And the reason is that as the bees congregate on the branch or twigs or whatever, they will always leave a pheromone, and that's what they're attracted to. So if you knock them to the ground, they will just fly back up to the same spot because they will follow that scent.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Greg, who's a local beekeeper, and we're finding out a lot about these little critters, and we really do need to know more about them. Greg, somebody... I've read somewhere where beekeepers use smoke. Now, when do they use it, and why would they use smoke?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Generally speaking, if you're going to open a hive and have a look to see the health of the hive and what's happening, just to minimise any aggression, smoke is helpful. Now, smoke in itself doesn't do much, but it's a distraction. I think I try and explain it this way. If you walked out of your front door one morning and all you smelt was smoke, your first reaction is, where is it? Is it far away? What's going on? And am I in danger? Either run or go back inside.
Yeah.
Bees are no different. So you give them smoke, which is a danger. So they will then, their first response is, what's going on? What do we need to do? What's going on? So they don't look at you as the beekeeper hovering over their hive saying, let's go get him. They're more concerned with, we're in danger maybe. What's going on?
Now, I'm just intrigued there. You said you may want to open up the hive and have a look at the health of the hive. Mm-hmm. So how do you know what the health of the hive is, and what do you mean by the health of the hive?
Oh, crikey. Have you got another 2 or 3 hours? All right. The health of the hive. What you're looking for is for any insect pests or any sign of other diseases within the hive.
How do you pick a disease in the hive?
Once again, Sorry, if you go back and do a beekeeping course, that'll show you there's just abnormalities. I think for a beekeeper, the best thing you can do is become aware of what's normal and what's the usual in your hive.
Right.
So that then anything that's not normal or not usual tends to stand out.
But by that, do you mean that there's something else in a foreign object, or you're talking about the bees acting irrationally compared to what they should be?
No, it's not so much the bee behaviour. It's actually what you're looking at when you look at the various frames or combs within the hive. Because normally for inspection, a little bit of smoke, you'll take out the frames one by one and just have a look to see what's doing and what's going on. As I said, once you know what's normal, it's very quick to have a look at a frame. Yep, that's fine. But it's when something that's out of the ordinary, it's what you actually see that should trigger your responses as to what's going on.
So how often do you go and check the health of your hives?
To be honest, now this is a confession time, not as often as I should maybe.
So how often should you?
Once again, it depends on who you talk to and what time of the year it is. At this time of the year where the bee numbers are building up really, really quickly, it should be every 10 to 14 days.
Right.
Go in, just have a quick look, see what's going on. Because when the bee numbers are increasing so rapidly, you've got to make sure the bees have got enough room to store all their honey and pollen and have enough room for all the new bees that are coming out. Right. If a bee hive gets too crowded, that's when swarming can occur.
So you have a look in and your hive and you say there's too many bees. Do you then split it into another hive, or how do you do it?
You can split if you wish, if you want to have more hives. Traditionally, if you want to minimise the chance of bees swarming, just give them more room. So you add another box with some more frames in it. It gives them more room, and that lowers the impulse for them to nick off and find a new home.
Because if you get crowding, that's what they can do, shoot through, is it?
Oh, yeah. I usually explain it this way. Just imagine you've got a two-bedroom home and you've got 7 teenage kids.
All coming home.
All coming home. So you have a bit of a space problem. So someone's got to go. And that's exactly the same for bees. When they get too crowded, someone's got to go. So that's what happens. The original queen and between a third and half of the bees in that hive will then leave the hive, and that's what a swarm is.
So then the ones at the left, do they then create a new queen?
Yes.
And so that hive really still stays active.
Yes.
And the others shoot through somewhere else.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, it's just a division. It's the way that bees reproduce naturally. And just to toss this, did you know bees have been doing this for about 125 million years?
Yeah, they've been doing it a lot longer than we have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how many beehives would you suggest, you might not know, just in the Yarra Valley alone?
Oh, I've got no idea how many. There is a way of finding out. You can actually go on to Ag Department and do a postcode search for how many registered beekeepers.
Yeah. Some of those could have 3, 4, 5 hives, too,
yep,
couldn't they?
Yep, yep. All right. Let's just take a step back and look at Victoria overall.
Yep.
For registered beekeepers in Victoria, there's a bit over 13,000 registered beekeepers in Victoria.
So that's a minimum 13,000 hives, isn't it?
It's a lot more than that.
No, but it's a minimum because nobody's going to become a registered beehive and not have one.
Yep, exactly.
Some of them could have 10, couldn't they?
Yep, or 1,000.
1,000?
Yep. Commercial beekeepers are also registered.
Yeah, so I'll ask you this, and it's probably a bit hard. Out of your group, pardon me, what's the average amount of hives a beekeeper would have?
I would say 3 to 4 on average, and that allows for someone like myself. I've got 8, but quite a few people have only got 1. Personally, I recommend if you're going to keep bees, have 2 beehives, because that way you've got something to compare. So if there's something different in one hive and it's the same in the other hive, you can say, oh, okay, whatever is happening, it's not abnormal for one. If you've got 2, you've got something to compare with.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 2:09 and 23 degrees, and that's the top of the day, so we might get a bit warmer. Righto, Greg, so we've got people listening today who have said, I wouldn't mind getting involved with these little critters. So I'll look at becoming a beekeeper. What are they going to do and how are they going to go about it?
All right. Well, just to recap from earlier, First of all, do a course, an introduction to beekeeping course.
Where do you find that?
Okay. Disclaimer, I'm personally biased. BeeSmart Beekeeping. I've been involved with that lady for a number of years. I think she's an excellent teacher. But there's a lot of courses around. Find your own that you're comfortable with.
Are they online courses?
Yes, yes. Right. Yep, with BeeSmart it is. Yeah. So do your course. Register with the department. The next two steps, I think, are fairly important. One, join your local bee group. That's where you'll find like-minded people with a huge support network, so you're not going to be on your own.
Yep, so then what do we do?
Then you mix and mingle and exchange stories, and then learn that there is no one way that's the only way. And I think that's one of the great things about every bee group that I've been involved with. Everyone has an opinion, but no one's wrong. It's just a different viewpoint.
Yeah. So if a person listening today and they say, well, look, I think we'll, because I don't want to only appeal to beekeepers today. I also want the general population to realise these little critters, I call them, we need them. We need to look after them. All right, so Would you suggest they start off with one hive, or is that too little? Would you,
No, one's fine. Okay, my personal experience, I started knowing absolutely nothing about bees, so I followed that process. I did a beekeeping course, then I got my bees and joined the local bee group.
All right, so how do you get your first lot of bees?
All right, generally speaking, ask the person that you're doing the course with. They will be able to give you indications of where to go.
So you buy them, do you? Or?
Yes. That's what I would recommend.
So you don't go to your local pet shop and buy them,
A little bit awkward. Just a fraction awkward. Yeah. No.
So would a person buy their bees through the local bee group or a local breeder?
Through the local bee group, I think is always a good starting point because there's, as I mentioned, there's a wealth of experience, so you'll have options to choose from as to where you get your bees. Yeah. There's quite a few different ways of doing it. Some people have recommended that if you want to start keeping bees, just wait until there's a swarm and start with a swarm. Yeah. And
you might not get a swarm in a hurry.
It might not, but to me, the inherent problem with catching a swarm is you don't know what their behaviour would be like once you have them inside the hive. There are some swarms that can develop, shall we say, unpleasant characteristics of defensiveness, which we interpret as aggression.
Can they?
Hmm? Yeah.
So there's various forms of bees. Like, they're not all all the same.
No. There are some hives that are notoriously gentle. You can, I've seen beekeepers that have really looked after their bees and know their bees well. They'll open their hive, do all their inspections without a veil, without a smoke, and without any protective gear, because the bees are so gentle and they know their beekeeper. Did you know bees recognise the beekeeper?
Do they?
Facial recognition, absolutely.
Just off facial, not the smell of them or anything like that.
No, it's just facial.
They're amazing little animals, aren't they?
Don't start me on how amazing they are.
No, we're going to. All right, so then there was a couple of other things you wanted to cover just before we finish off.
Yep, okay. For anyone that's interested in finding out more about bees or the options about keeping bees or starting with bees, I'd recommend come and see the Yarra Valley Bee Group at the Lilydale Show, which is on the 18th and 19th of November. The club has a stall there the whole weekend, staffed with ordinary beekeepers like myself, and we'd be happy to chat to anyone with all of their questions about bees and beekeeping.
So that's at the Lilydale Show.
Yes.
Do you have a phone number for your group, for people who either have got a swarm they want to get rid of, or think, no, I don't want to go to the show, I'd rather talk to someone personally?
Yep. All right. In terms of swarm, we do have a swarm hotline. Do you have your pencils ready, folks? Here it comes. I'll repeat it so I won't go too quickly. 0490 663 980. Here it comes again. 0490 663 980. Now, that is predominantly for swarms. If you want to find out more about bees, a general question, I would ask you, please don't call that swarm line because it is really busy at the moment. come to the Beat Group or look us up online or on Facebook.
Tell us how... Don't just tell us that. Tell us how to do it.
All right. Yarra Valley Beat Group online. It's all one word, yarravalleybeatgroup.org.au.
Yarra Valley Beat Group?
Yep, all one word, all lowercase, .org.au.
Yeah.
And that'll take you to a whole wealth of information and contacts, email addresses and that sort of stuff is there.
So, do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do.
What's it called?
Funnily enough, it's called Yarra Valley Bee Group.
What a surprise.
Yes. We're no shrinking violets, that's for sure.
All right, so for a swarm, if you go out this afternoon or next week, and you might, and this would be a good idea to put this on your refrigerator, 0490 663 980.
Yep.
But that's only for a swarm.
Please.
Or if they go and Google... Yarra Valley Bee Group, or they go to yarravalleybeegroup.org.au.
Absolutely, yes.
And they'll be able to find out more about how to become a beekeeper.
Absolutely, yes.
Are there any things that you would say to somebody now, don't do? Like, I mean, there are a lot of things that you shouldn't do, but is there anything you should say, well, don't do that?
All right. If it's a swarm, please don't annoy them. Don't try and hose them, as someone I know sitting on the other side of the desk did.
No, just... I didn't go, it wasn't a swarm. It just got out of the tree.
Yeah. All right, don't hose them. Don't aggravate them. Don't try and wave them away. Just let them sit in a nice little happy clump and then get onto the swarm line. Some people, unfortunately, in the past used to do terrible things like spray them with insecticide, all those sorts of things. Horrible things.
Unfortunately, back in those days, a lot of people didn't know any better.
Yep, true enough. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember people sort of saying they were just a pest, but they're not a pest at all.
No.
Without them, without bees, we're in a whole heap of trouble, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are indeed.
Would you say, apart from the fact that they've been in the last 12 months or so, in the last year or so, that they've got more productive, but are we getting more bees as well? Or because I know at one stage people were really starting to get worried because the bee numbers were starting to drop.
Yeah, I think the drop in bee numbers was more overseas than here in Australia. Right. So bee numbers have been pretty good in Australia overall.
Right.
My concern is with what's been happening over the last little while in New South Wales, with the pest that came in there, that may be a bit of an influence in the future, but I'm hopeful that bees are going to thrive and survive with us.
That's right. Well, we need them, don't we?
Absolutely, we do.
I'm intrigued that their whole little culture they've got that you've been telling us about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real little community, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I regard a hive as an organism in its own right, made up of individual bees. I'm going to throw another did you know at you. Did you know that in a hive, all the bees have their allocated tasks, but no one tells them what to do? There is no boss. So, the beehive works similar to what a human being does. I regard it as a human being as an organism made up of all the different components and cells, and it works.
Thank you for coming in to tell us all about the little bees.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.